Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
So you gonna wear the pashmina to Westminster Abbey? Spill it. What is going on over there?
Well, interestingly enough, excitingly enough, I've been featured in a book which has been produced by Parliament here, which is a really big deal. And it's been produced because this year is 300 years since we had our first Prime Minister. So it was looking for people who represent leadership and innovation. So I was approached and chosen, and I will feature, and the book has been launched this Wednesday in a reception in Westminster Abbey.
Wow.
And it's going to be sent out worldwide, given to heads of state, produced in schools and universities, and
when you said 300, I was like, I hope they ain't looking for sisters that's 300 years old. Well, that's pretty good. And being a woman of color, I am very impressed. Bravo.
I tell you, when I heard, I was so overexcited, because I was like, this is where we need to be.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Very progressive. Very progressive. Well, girl, as many pictures as you can take, okay? Be sure that you take it and let me know. It's like the White House. I went to the White House, and you know, you be in this little room, but it's just walking through there and all the history and the conversations and, you know, the ghosts that are roaming around. You know, there's some ghosts in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if those walls could talk, girl, I bet they could tell you some stuff. I've been very fixated on British television shows like Bridgerton. Ooh, honey. Yes.
Yes.
The Crown and The Queen. I've really been into that. And my daughter absolutely loves London. We are going to come and see you as soon as this pandemic is over. We're going to rent a castle there. So get ready.
I look forward to it. That sounds exciting.
Because you're quite the party person, too. I heard you got turned up for Mama's 80th birthday party. What'd you guys do?
Oh, I tell you, it was wild. We went there and there were two rooms. The room one had all my mom's friends in it, but room two had the children, the grandchildren, and people from our past who, you know, we still keep in contact with. And we shared stories about the past and we told jokes. And when the music started, we were off.
What kind of music did you play? R&B, hip hop, what you do?
R&B, hip hop. We had some reggae, some lovers rock from the past, the things we used to play in the parties in the 80s and 90s.
Wow.
And even mommy got going because she can't walk. So I went up to her chair.
I took my mother to the Prince concert in her wheelchair. She said, I'll roll with you.
Exactly. And that is what she was doing. She was like,
oh. You know. Well, post a couple pictures I want to see and tell her I said happy birthday.
I will do.
So this is a new day here on the edge. Where your postcard at, Jacqueline?
My postcard is right here, my darling.
That's right. That is Jacqueline Goldbrains. Do you see that? She is a precious jewel, a mineral. And she's here to talk to us about some heavy-duty stuff, our cotton-picking kids.
Yes.
I know, and we love them dearly. And this has been such a traumatic, trying time with COVID, in and out of school. Do we vaccine them? Do we not? Do we wear a mask? Don't we do a mask? Homeschooling. You know, homeschooling is not for chumps. There's a lot of people that have opted to do that. Bravo. But, you know, not the executive in the tight pencil skirt and the red bottom shoes. Girl, she don't know nothing about homeschooling. And these children's, not only their emotions are being impacted, but their ability to learn and to be able to process. So Jacqueline is going to talk to us a little bit about that, as well as how trauma plays into that, but how we can kind of work with our kids to work through this so that they can understand that they are not a victim of their circumstance. So help me welcome her to the edge right over there, my girl from the UK, Jacqueline Gold. Welcome.
Thank you so much, April.
This is gonna be fun.
I'm really, really, really happy and stoked to be here today.
I am too. But girl, that Westminster Abbey, okay, they done upscaled me. So tell us a little bit about you, how you show up in the world, and what you are doing.
Well, I see myself as a pioneer and a champion of the young people, because the world is quite a tricky one to negotiate nowadays. It's got more complex as technology's taken over, and people are trying now to make one size fits all models, and the kids are struggling with it. You know, I'm, as much as I appreciate the pandemic for highlighting problems that exist in the education system, I also think that let's try and address those problems. So I am out in the world every day striving for those young people, bringing them on board, listening to them more than anything else, and talking to them about where they see problems might exist and helping them find solutions. Because at the end of the day, it's finding solutions which is going to build their lives, and their lives are what are most important to me.
You guys are doing some innovative trailblazing things there in the UK. I have another woman, and her name is Jacqueline too. Her name is Jackie Taylor, and she works with 4 and 5-year-old geniuses.
Yes.
Did I introduce you to her?
No, but I think I've seen something on her.
Girl, she worked with the G20 Summit. She is the business. I'm going to have to turn you on to her because she's right there. You know, she's probably a neighbor. But really on the precipice of getting things done, we are still struggling. You know, here in the United States, the kids is taking guns to school.
Yeah.
They're shooting up the schools. Then you got the traffickers. Like R. Kelly outside of school, waiting to pick them up and sing to them, taking them to McDonald's, and you know, and then force them into sex trade. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on. What about trauma? You know, now trauma is a key impactor, and if it happens at an early age, it seems to sink into a person and it never goes away. You know, how are educators speaking to that, recognizing that, and working with that? Because a lot of kids, they don't talk about it.
All right, let me tell you a story. I have personal experience of trauma in childhood, and I know that it could have been a lot more difficult for me, because when you experience trauma, your brain does not function as it normally should. It goes into panic mode. It doesn't receive and process information in the same way. And this is one of the reasons why I say the system, the education system, needs a reform, because it exists to have people, young people, go to school every day to receive this information, to carry out certain activities, and expect it to be retained and ready to be used in future life. Now, when I was going through trauma, and that trauma was sexual abuse at a very young age, I know I shut down. I went inside myself. I couldn't see the way forward. I couldn't see the point of taking another step forward, because I wasn't in control. My parents were in control. Adults around me were in control of me. The school was in control of me, but no one was actually saying, you know, are you okay? How are things with you? The system is not built in a way that could accommodate actually taking a minute to talk to these kids and notice kids who are withdrawn and ask them the question, and certainly to do something about it. With me, this abuse went on for 3 years before it was noticed. And it was only noticed because I had decided that day that that was my last day on earth. And that I had decided to leave, to register at school and then leave school and go and take an overdose. But it was a teacher, Miss Carabin, who I celebrate to this day, who caught me. And I was never so happy to be caught trying to truant. This is why I am very, very good at spotting a child in distress. And I know in schools we're taught, you don't talk to the child about it. You report it to the safeguarding officer and they will talk to the child about it. That's a very flawed approach, I have to say, because that child is not going to talk to any and everybody about it.
Right.
I know, because I have been through it. I talked to Miss Carabin because I knew she was a positive person, and I knew that even though she was fire and she was really annoyed at me for trying to walk out, it was because she knew that I had potential. And she tried her best for me. But I certainly would not have been talked to somebody who I'd just been put in the room with and said, told everything will be okay.
Right, right, right. With knowing the threats that have been put on you to be, you know, you've been subjectified. So if you tell anybody, XYZ is going to happen anyway. And so now here's some stranger that you have to go in and tell all of your business that you don't trust. And there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety. And again, she saw that you had potential. So when she pulled you aside and she started to talk to you, Jackie, and you started to open up to her, what was the course of action that she took to help you further your education and get your head around that?
Well, she, at that, by the time that we'd reached this point, I was being bullied at school as well. So I was, the two safe places, home and school, I was being bullied at school and I had difficulties at home as well. So the thing that she could do without catching a beat is she moved me out of my form tutor group, which was such a good move. She knew that was where the bullying was happening, and she knew, which was really unusual then, that trauma on the brain is going to ruin potential immediately, right? Sustained trauma on the brain could take a child anywhere. Children find it hard enough to understand why they have to go to school every day. You know, some are just natural learners, so they go and they learn, but that doesn't mean they enjoy it or they understand why they have to do it. But her approach was to make me comfortable in my surroundings and give me an outlet that I could go and speak to, because she already knew what the problem was. And that in itself led to improvement straight away. I started attending and I started growing.
How old were you? What grade?
That was year 9, so grade 8 for you guys.
Wow. And that's a really tender age, because now you are going through puberty too, and you're looking at your body's like, what is all of this? What is this life about? You know, so...
Sorry, I interrupted. No, I was going to say, it's an important time for girls and boys. You know, because all the changes that are happening, you're in a position where you think you're old enough and grown enough to take control of your life. You're really not. you know, like I said, my mom's party last night, and I still ask her her opinion on what's going on. Mm-hmm. But here I was at 14 thinking I had solutions to what was happening in my life.
You know? You have any other outlets? I mean, you know, did you have siblings, brothers and sisters, aunts, cousins, or was your teacher your sole resource?
That was it. I had my friend's mom who used to always allow me to come to her house when there was a, when I was completely down. And she was, I send her flowers still every year on her birthday because she didn't doubt anything I was saying, because people who know me know that I don't play. You know, I always have been cheeky like that.
Right.
I say it as it is. I don't filter at the best of times.
Mm.
I've learned to get better at it.
It comes with time. I'm going to springboard to what, now you've seen this, you've lived it, you've assessed it, and now you are diagnosing it and you're trying to heal it. Tell me about the work that you're doing with young people now.
Now, it's an exciting time because I don't just work with children with problems. I work with children in general, okay? But the ones who have problems with getting their heads around the learning process and understanding their potential are always specially dear to me, because I know what they're going through, I've experienced it, I can help them, and I know that the work we do with them, we always talk with them, we make sure that they know they, we are their team, we are their cheerleaders, you know, we're right behind them, and we find out what they want to do. So we give them back a bit of control. And we work as, you know, where do you see your life going? You know, how can we take steps towards it? It's like a coaching process as well as a teaching process.
Mm.
But those who don't have that any issues, just want to get their learning on par, we work with them quite happily too. And we teach them that just because you're a good learner doesn't mean that there's not room for growth.
Exactly. Now you say we
build,
you refer to we. You have a team?
I have a team, yes. I have excellent tutors who we all work on the same philosophy, and that is every student is in an individual.
Okay.
Every student must be treated individually. I don't want to hear about they fit into this model. You know, I want to hear that you're listening to them and working with them at the rate that they can work, and making sure that they make that little bit of progress every week that we see them. Because what, there is nothing like it, April, when they get something right, they go, yes.
Oh, look. Let me tell you, my daughter was, and I found out because I had another great interview of a teacher that teaches children that are dyslexic. Girl, I finally identified with my reading challenge. I couldn't hear certain words phonetically. Spelling was a challenge for me. And I didn't know that it was hereditary. So, or it can be hereditary. But it's just a different style of learning. I ended up being an accomplished author, selling thousands and thousands of books, and an orator, winning contests for writing, all of that. Now, don't ask me to edit. Okay, don't ask me to edit, but I can write it. And my daughter had the same challenge. And when I put her in a special program, Sylvan Learning Center, they taught me to reward her for her effort.
Absolutely.
Rather, absolutely. She got a, you know, if she got a D and she put everything that she had into it, that D does not determine that she's dumb. That D determines that she did it, that she did something, that she tried. And I put her in there maybe 7 months. And after that, Harry Potter came out, that child struggled, and she read that 800-page book. Yes, she did.
Absolutely.
And Harry Potter is not easy to comprehend, okay? Much less try to phonetically sound out the words and all that other stuff. So I really commend you for doing that and tutoring these children, Now, these are children that are in the academic system, or are these children that are being homeschooled, or are these just children in general and their parents seek out your services?
Right. It's children in general and parents come to me. I have a wide range from those who homeschool full-time, homeschool part-time, those who go to school, who are just getting lost in the system because, let's face it, schools nowadays have like 30 little individual personalities in the room, and teachers need to accommodate all of them.
Right, but right? Let me include that. You've got 30 personalities here in the U.S. You have one teacher. You have no teacher's aides. You don't have the supplies that you need. You have children that are on different levels, different scales. You've got them on these spectrums, and you've got the ones that they want to medicate.
Absolutely. You've got times have changed so much. There used to be so many more TAs in the room. That's teaching assistants in the room to help those who need the extra support. But those have been slowly taken away. So you, as the teacher, have all these young minds to get the best out of. It's not possible, and your child could be one of those. I mean, let me tell you a story. I was telling at the party last night, because we were talking about this, and I got hounded out of a school for making this point. I was called into my line manager's office and told that only 57.25% of my class need to pass for me to have met my targets. That is unacceptable to me, because that would mean me selecting who I'm going to push, you know, the easiest ones to get through, and ignore the rest. So I my natural question was, yeah, what about the other 47.75%? And that I was told the parents will just have to understand. And I was like, no. First of all, in the area that I was working at the time, no parent understands, even if you go home and say, you got a C, you know, that would not be, they would not understand that. Not to talk about just having to understand that your child has been, you know, not passed the class. To me, okay, that's like,
wait,
no.
Let me ask you too. What sector of the population are you working with? Is this diverse? Is it multicultural? Is it just us brown people?
Multicultural. Okay. But in that school, it was more brown than any other nationality, and I couldn't imagine. I could not have held my head up and walked down the street knowing that I have said to myself, you know what, let me work out who's going to get through this class and who has not got through this class, and let me and walk out at the end. No, it just wouldn't happen.
Wow.
Every child has the potential to achieve what they want to achieve, and I am not ever going to step away from that.
And a lot of the remedy is love. Love and listening.
You know, how many times in classes I've been asked, Miss, do you beat your kids? And I was like, no, it doesn't achieve anything. Now, I'm not knocking parents that do, but I achieve what I achieve with these kids, and my team achieves through love and nurturing and making them feel that they are a whole human being. And the more that we have these whole human beings in the world, can you imagine the future? People actually understanding the point of being on this earth, what their positions are and what their mission is, and, you know, having a whole new view. I really always go back to the Jackie, you know, when I look at teenage pictures of myself, I think I was so angry for so long.
You had a reason to be.
Because I really felt like that is the reason I was on this earth, to be abused. And there are so many kids out there who feel like that and feel like they have no reason to be here. So there's no point in them going to school. There's no point in them getting educated. There's no point. Right. And I can't have that.
So let me ask you this too. So once they come to this realization that I matter, that I am a person, that I have value, you know, and if they can get that early, oh my God, it avoids drugs and guns and them being predators on other young people, their siblings. And you know, I just don't know what to say to these children, because how do you stand up to an adult and say, you know what, you violated me? You don't even know what that word means. It becomes the norm. Because predators do that. They groom you so that you like the act. And then when you fall in love or try to get out in the world yourself, you go from one extreme to the next. Either you're very hardcore or you're very promiscuous. It's hard to find that balance. So you've been able to do that and achieve that with these kids, and I commend you on that. But you also have another special skill that you told me about, and that's test taking.
Yes. Now, let me say, before I say anything else and before anyone stands up and says, exams are not for all. No, exams are not for all. But that feeling of passing an exam is one that I think everyone should experience at some point in their life. The adrenaline rush, it's like such happiness to feel like you've worked for something and you've achieved it. But it's not easy, and it's not easy for those who can pass exams and those who would struggle to pass exams but do. It's not easy. And this is why we work with kids, to help those who want to do exams to achieve their best grades possible. Now, if it's okay with you, April, I'd just like to take people through the method that we use.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you're doing it, because you know what? I use a thing. I'm going to let you go. But I used to use a thing called recall therapy. And I used to have this oil, basically peppermint eucalyptus, and it's recall therapy. And I would do a little aromatherapy before I would study, and I'd study, and then I'd do a little of the recall therapy and the oil before, and it would kick something off in my brain. There's little things that you can do that will make it, you know, my husband taught my daughter, you know, the Scantrons?
Mm-hmm.
He taught my daughter how to use the Scantron like a calculator.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, she's cheating. He goes, no, she's smart. She's got one up on everything. And I said, how did you figure out how to do that? And so there's the mathematics. Understanding that mathematics, in my opinion, is more of a language than calculation and a puzzle. Once you understand the terms, and then you learn, because it's only add, subtract, multiply, and divide. But when you get geometry and all that, and you figure out how to put the puzzle together and put those words together, look at me. I should be one of your tutors working with them with my dummy. But okay, so now you have my full attention. Go ahead. Let us know what.
Right. What we use is that thing that we have every day called sleep.
Mm.
Okay. And this is why teenagers love this method, because I tell them, make sure while you're revising, you're sleeping as much as you need to. Okay. When we sleep, our brain refreshes, throws out the madness, throws out the toxic memories, and starts rebuilding the things that you want to remember. So we encourage our students to read what they have been studying just before they go to bed. Okay. Whilst they're studying, we produce these knowledge pillow cards.
Okay.
So while they're studying, they're making notes on these little cards. See, one knowledge point, one understanding, one explanation, one evidence. So they're not trying to pack too much in, just one point of each of the things that they've been studying. When they've finished completing the cards, just before they go to bed, they just read through the cards one more time and put them under their pillow. Okay? And that's what I tell them to do. I'll come back to the story about that. Okay? But they put them under their pillow and I tell them it will soak into your brain overnight. And then they keep one of these.
Okay.
Next to their bed. You know, some people have coffee table books. I have knowledge pillow journals for my students.
Okay.
And inside it has a different note page for each subject. Okay. So when they wake up next morning, before they do anything else, before they get out of bed, I get them to turn to the page of this, what they've been studying, and write down everything they can remember. Okay, just to show them, you don't need, I got tired of seeing kids going into exams with the whole textbook in front of them. Wow. No, all you need is this, your knowledge journal that you've written down all your notes in. Okay. And your notes have been concise because they've come from these. Now, there's an example there, you know, one knowledge point, the blue sky, one understanding, clouds and wind. You know, it's just an example that I've put together. So a few years ago, I was teaching an A-level accounting class, which was quite, A-level is advanced level. It's for your year, your grade 11 and 12. Okay. It's what you do just before university. And these kids were struggling to get the concepts together, and I was brought in to push them upwards. And I said to them, exactly what I've just said to you, and go to bed and put your cards under your pillow and it will soak in. And they said, what if we've got loads of cards? We'll end up with a crook neck. And I was like, just do it. Okay. Trust me. That class ended up 95% A's.
Wow.
The other 5% got B's because they weren't there at every lesson. But it came down to two things. First of all, I teach in steps. You remember what you said? All you have to remember is what you do with, you know, adding, subtracting, dividing, etc. You just have to remember what you do with them. I teach them in steps. I got them to do their cards in steps. I got them to put the steps under the pillow, right? And that's how I prepared them, got them to use their journals. And in the end, 95% of them.
Bravo.
And that is how we do it every time. We get first thing we ask is that for the parents to do is make sure they have the knowledge journals and a set of cards, and so that we can teach the kids how to study. You don't just take a kid, put them into school and tell them to study. They don't know how.
They don't know how. It is a process. It's like cooking. It's like cleaning. It's like driving. You have to instruct them and teach them how and the best practices. And also look at them and see where their learning is. You know, again, like the lady that I had on my show that taught about dyslexia. A child cannot tell you that they don't know what they don't know. This is what my daughter told me. I said, Chanel, I said, the teacher called here. I said, and she said that you are, you're distracted. You're not disruptive, but when everybody else is reading and all that, you're up playing with the turtle and you're looking out the window. You're doing all this other stuff. She says, Mommy, she says, because the other kids read faster than me. She says, and you know how I feel? I said, no, how do I feel? She says, you know when you see Sylvester and Tweety Bird hits Sylvester over the head, and all the little Tweety Birds go around in a circle? And I said, what? She says, when I look at words and stuff, that's how I feel, like the little Tweety birds going around in the circle. What she was telling me is that she was having a hard time seeing, and I was like, what a way to describe it. But that was her way of describing it. I took her to the eye doctor. Baby had a cold sore in her eye. I had no idea. What do I know? So she says, it hurts me. She says, I don't want to do it. She says, and then when they call on me and I don't read as fast, she says, they laugh. So I turn my page and then she'll ask me what happened on other pages. She says, but I didn't read the text. I stopped all of that. I paid for a tutor, like someone great like you. And they told me to reward for effort within, like I said, 6 months. And a pair of glasses, my child was stellar. So all these parents, you know, these schools are diagnosing these kids with, oh, your child has this, or they're on the spectrum, or they're this, or they're that. Some kids is just disruptive and bad. Yeah, that's just who they are. But their learning ability.
But you know what? Even saying that, even the most naughty child, right? And yes, for those who are saying no child is naughty, yes, some children are naughty. Mm-hmm. Okay? Even the most naughty child, if you can sit with them and actually reason, you know, on a one-to-one basis, even they will turn it around once you can show them that they're worthy, you know, because often kids play up because they're not sure where they sit in the world. And it's an important point to make, that I've never met a child, no, tell a lie, I've met one child in 16 years that I couldn't reach.
Wow. I had a little neighbor down the street, little white kid, and during COVID. And I was riding my bike down the street and I was stopped at a neighbor's house and his mother was going in on him. Oh, she was just going off on her. And I could tell she was having a hard time. So I told her, I said, well, you know what? Let me give you a break. Why don't you send him down to my house on Tuesdays and Thursdays? She says, Tuesdays and Thursdays? I said, yeah, send him down to my house. Girl, we are the best of friends. She said, oh, Miss April. He said, I never want to go back to school. We collected bugs because I like to dig in the garden. We collected bugs. We made a garden. My husband showed him how to use power tools. It was about 8. He learned his mathematics. We came in. We made some cookies. I showed him how to use a measuring cup. And it was patience and it was love. And his mother sees me to this day. And I tell you, she does everything but kiss my feet. And I told her, I said, don't do that. I said, you didn't have that kind of support as a parent. You didn't have the resources. You didn't have the education. I said, but you can't victimize your child. She says, April, I don't know what I would have done without you. And I really hope that I have been an influence in this child's life.
Yeah, clearly you have been.
You know, but I'm telling you, I had the best time because it was somebody to talk to. And I mean, he wouldn't stop talking. But it was wonderful, too. And you know what else he told me that made me cry? Yeah. He goes, all Black people aren't mean. So there was a cultural connection there. There was something that somebody had told him, misled him, lied to him. He was watching Fox News. Something that something that gave him the impression that because I was a different color, I was a different type of being. And now he knows differently. And I told him, you know, I said, yes, we are different. People always want to color code us and put us, oh, we're all the same. No, we're not. Newsflash brains, we're not the same, okay? We all bleed blood. You know, we all are flesh and blood, but there's cultures, there's difference, there's understanding, there's upbringing, there's trials, tribulations, there's affluence, there's money. There's a lot of things that make us different. And realize that and honor that difference in that person.
Well, this is another thing that got me vilified in school because I said, why are we doing this? Why do we do that and make the differences so apparent? We are a different race, not a different species.
That's right.
You know, and that came after a child asked me, do I wash my hair with shampoo?
Yeah. They don't know. Girl, when I gave him some pork chops, rice, and greens and cornbread, I was like, it's time for you to, it's 7 o'clock, it's time for you to go home. Oh, no, no, girl, you know. And then I taught him how to cook, you know, a little bit. But it was all done with love. There was no pretension there. I didn't have no idea I was going to get that attached. I was trying to keep him from that butt beating. Because she was about to go into him. But she was young, you know. She didn't have any money. You know, she's trying to provide. You know, the daddy wasn't coming around. Mm. And it was different. And, you know, he absolutely adores my husband. He thinks my husband is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he is. You know, but he says, wow, I know how to, you know, I know how to use a sander and I know how to use this and I know how to do that. You know, again, so it's just about taking the time to teach because we had to be taught. You don't come into this world knowing everything. You don't leave this world knowing everything.
And no one should want to either.
No, but that's my next book, 365 Days. I've been documenting what I learn every day. For 365 days. And could you imagine if I have done that for 59 years? That's
so interesting.
It would be so interesting. And so I really commend you. I'm so proud that they are acknowledging you, recognizing you, and showcasing the work that you do, not just for brown kids, but for all kids.
All kids. I don't look at the color of your skin before I actually accept you onto our scheme. What I do is I talk. It's important that I talk to the parent and the child
absolutely
together absolutely. Before, because what has to be agreed is that this is what we are doing and all parties have to buy into it. If the child doesn't buy into it, I'm not going to force them. Just, it's just not the right time.
What grade levels do you work with?
I work with all grades.
Oh, wow.
Because I've built a team, so I have lots of specialists on our team who specialise in different subjects or specialise in different grade levels or different, you know, like special needs and other matters that come up with children. We have specialists for everything.
Well, you are
nothing out of bounds.
You know, and I tell people this all the time, and I know it's probably hard for them to believe. But to whom much is given, whether it's good or bad, much is required. And I had a grief recovery specialist on my show. And he told me, like you said, he said, you know, April, I was born to suffer. He was locked in a closet and sexually abused for 3 years. He had to be locked in that closet, eat, sleep, and defecate, being taken out, washed, beaten, abused, and put back in this closet. And now he is sought out around the world for his palliative and hospice care that he gives to others. He is a USC graduate. He is, a world-renowned speaker and author. So, unfortunately, there are sacrificial lambs in the world.
I believe that. And again, it was a conversation that happened last night at the party. I was talking to somebody I've known for years and I was saying, I believe I have a mission on this earth. And that mission is with kids. And the reason I believe that is because in 1999, I had a complete body breakdown.
Oh, wow.
And over the matter of a few weeks, I ended up paralysed from the neck downwards and 2 weeks in an induced coma in hospital and a whole month in the hospital. And it turns out that when they intubated, they didn't extubate in the right place. So I had to relearn how to use my hands and how to use my legs. You know, I had to relearn the whole thing. However, the thing that kept me alive was my daughter, who I realized was just across the road from me and I needed to get back to her. Now that alone couldn't keep me alive. There had to be a greater force saying, we're not ready for you, go back. The day I came out of the coma, it was all the time I was in, it was like a white light, you know, like it's behind me now, and silhouette of the classical Jesus, you know, the one that our parents all had in their
Right.
With the long hair and the robes.
Well, I don't know which version. Is it Michelangelo's? What's his name? Michelangelo? Who was his name?
Michelangelo was the painter.
Was it the one that painted the Sistine Chapel?
Yes.
Or is it the one that we look at that had the nappy hair and the dreads and the bare feet? Because
it was the Michelangelo version, just standing next to my bed the whole time.
Wow.
And then the day I woke up, it was like I was in a really fast car. Mm. And then the person went, go back, and pushed my back. And I just sat up and shocked everybody. And I've always believed that was somebody saying to me, you've got things to do. Get back there.
Wow. Wow. And you're doing them. And I'm glad that you're doing them right here with us on the Edge, Brains. Did you hear that? Okay. What I want you to do, Brains, is I want you to go in and I want you to connect with your kids. Just sit down, turn the TV off, get some snacks, go sit outside, go to the park, and have a conversation. But that conversation should be one-sided because I want you to listen more than I want you to talk. Ask them a couple questions. They will pour into you and tell you, like my little neighbor did down the street, they won't shut up. And be an active listener, no matter what they say to you. If they're asking you about sex or drugs or how to cook or when are they going to drive a car, listen to what they're saying. If your child comes to you and they're saying they've been violated, listen to them. They're not going to come up with these horrific stories for no reason. Reach out. If you see a child that is being victimized, you may not be able to approach them directly, but speak on their behalf. Be their advocate. If you have a child that has a learning disability or a challenge, they don't want to grow up in the world ignorant. They don't want to grow up in the world combative. They want to enjoy the best that life has to offer. Try to seek out. That's why we're the adults and they're the children. They look to us, right? Don't you agree? Right. Dr. Jackie? Jacqueline Gold, you are precious. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. Are you doing a virtual, some virtual work as well? Not just in the, not there just in the classrooms in the UK. Are people able to reach you globally?
Absolutely. We work largely virtually. So that no one is out of reach to us. That's not part of our philosophy. Everybody's included. And you can get hold of me on Linktree, linktr.ee/JACQUIGOLD. That's Linktree/Jackie Gold. And I look forward to talking to you.
Brains, please. That's why I go and seek out people all over the world so that they can help you, to help me, to make this a better planet that we're living on. Because, you know, our days is numbered, okay? Our days are numbered, and it's tight. So before we conclude, let me ask you a couple fun questions. Well, a couple serious questions. Number one, what has all this COVID lockdown taught you about you?
Oh, it's taught me that I love silence because of the work we do. I love when I don't have to talk. Those moments are precious to me.
What would you tell a 12-year-old Jackie Gold?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I would say not everyone in the world has sinister intent. Pick carefully, but believe in some.
Okay. What are three things that you absolutely cannot live without besides my friendship?
Watermelon.
Ooh, I know. I just made a watermelon. Have you ever had a watermelon salad?
When I come to the States, that's what has given me such an addiction to watermelon salad.
Girl, I made one, this recipe with feta cheese and mint. We'll talk about it offline. It is delicious. What else? What are the other two things?
And yes, they watermelon did come before my children, but my children, my daughter and my son, and my other half, because he keeps me sane. And he listens and he accepts my little foibles and he's good to me.
What do you say to a child that has been victimized and they are of a particular age and they're looking to find love for themselves? What suggestion would you give to them?
To talk to me. But if you don't want to talk, that's fine. We'll just sit and we'll wait until you're ready to talk. But to understand that the first step is the hardest and it means just starting a conversation.
It is. Well, thank you for sharing, opening up to us the pages of your journal. I think that that's great. It's easy. Do you sell that online, or is that something that needs to be facilitated with the trainer?
It's available on, we always send people to Amazon for it, and I'll hold it up again so that people can see. It's called the Knowledge Pillow Journal.
Okay.
And it's available on all of the Amazon platforms, as are the cards.
I think that's great, even for adult learners. My niece just got her master's degree yesterday. Bravo. And I am about to take two classes. I'm going to take a broadcasting class, and I'm going to do some neuro-linguistic programming. So maybe I need to go in and get all of my pillow journal information so that I get an A in my class. And you know what? I'll send them back to you. I'll say, Teacher Jackie told me how to get that on the edge.
Well, I'm a brain.
You are official. You are. Thank you so much. I love you from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough.
Right back at you.
Bye, brains.